Open up to John 21. I'm going to continue on from last Wednesday's message. And the title on that one, sometimes I forget. I just say last Wednesday's message. You know, in 7 years from now, that's going to be hard for people to remember. So they help me, you know. They say, look, if you're going to reference another service, give us the title, please. So the title of that one is called Follow Thou Me. And that's one we did last Wednesday. And the Lord really began opening up to me out of John 21. And part of that is because of the... Now, of course, 7 years from now, this will be old news too. But, you know, right now there's a quasi, you know, revival going on. They call it the Lakeland Revival. And there's... I mean, you could just get caught up 24/7 answering the phone, talking to people, answering questions if you're in a minister position at all. Have time for nothing else, because what about this and what about this and what about Todd and what about angels and what about this other thing, and I don't like BAM and some like BAM. If you don't know what I mean by that, every time you pray for somebody, goes BAM anyway. And it's not like we don't want to try and answer questions and things, we do, but really when you get alone and pray, I'm pretty sure God's not going to be talking to you about Todd Bentley and what he's doing down there. I know with me, he says, you know, you ought to be more interested in about your walk with me than anybody else's walk with me. And it just kept taking me right back here to John 21. And we went through this in detail last week. And just so you'll know what's going on here, this is after the cross. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has already appeared to Peter and the other disciples in his resurrected form. Yet this chapter starts off with discouragement. To the point that Peter, he started out as a fisherman, and he just got so discouraged, he said, well, I don't know about you boys, but I'm just going to go fishing. You know, like the vision, it's discouragement. It's no other two ways about it. Well, they go fishing, and the Lord meets them out there, and a lot of things happen. But then after it's all over, then the Lord appears on the shore to them, and Peter comes, and the Lord starts having this conversation with Peter. And, you know, Peter was the one that said, I don't care if everybody else forsakes you. I'm not going to forsake you. In other words, implying without saying it, I love you more than all these others. They might forsake you, but I'm not going to forsake you. Yet what happened? He denied the Lord three times. So three times the Lord asked him, Peter, do you love me? Boy, that had to hurt, you know. That had to hurt. Peter did love the Lord. And so Peter answers him, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. Now this is where we're going to pick it up. John 21, verse 18. The Lord gives Peter some information here that Peter otherwise would have no way of knowing. And the Lord's looking a long ways off at the end of Peter's life. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, I want to English it up a little bit. Instead of when thou wast young. When you were young, you put on your clothes yourself. You went wherever you wanted to. But when you're going to be old, and the particular Greek word that Jesus chose there is the word old, that would, not that Peter would be senile, but it's the word that you would use for somebody that would be at the age where they would qualify for that. In other words, you're going to live to be an old, old man, Peter. He says, when thou shalt be old, you're going to be an old man. You're going to stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee. And he's going to take you where you don't want to go. Now this spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. He's telling Peter straight out. And he doesn't tell everybody this, but he told Peter, you're going to be a martyr. You're going to die for the gospel's sake. Well, and when he had spoken this to him, he said, follow me. Well, now there's a long passage here, and basically, what's going on, Peter turns around. I'm going to be a martyr for you. I'm going to die for the gospel. What about John? I just love Peter because he's real. What about John? You know, misery loves company. I'm going to be a martyr. What about John? And look at the answer that the Lord gives him. Well, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, If it's my will that he tarries until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. See, and that's really what it's all about. On that day when we're all standing before the Lord, and each one of us is going to stand there, each one is going to give account of his life and ministry. You do know that. I don't think it's going to be question and answer time where we're going to stand there and say, I want to talk to you about the Lakeland revival or any other revival. I want to talk to you about this. And you know, it's going to be you and the Lord, and you're going to talk about his calling for you. And did you follow thou him? Say it that way. So the Lord began bringing back to my mind again through a series of events. Part of it, something Tim had asked me to do about 2 years ago, and I was about 2 years late. And that was to get all the, most of you know what the face-to-face documents are. That's a series of about 20 messages that I obtained, heard, received, however you want to use the word, while practicing the message that's on Dave's two-tape series titled Distinguishing God's Voice. I practiced it for hours a day, for weeks and months, and I think maybe about a year, I don't know. And then eventually, when I was, and I'm not going to reteach that, I'm just summarizing to get our mind headed down this path again. Eventually one day when I would close my mouth and I'd been praying in tongues and I just stopped speaking and listen, all those days, weeks, and months, I would just hear the tongues, and I was trying to locate the place within me where what we would call the ear of your spirit, that place in you where you receive information from the Holy Spirit. See, because it's not you creating that language. That's the Holy Spirit creating that language. And if you can hear it at all in your soul, that's the place in you where the communication takes place. Now, Dave goes into, I mean, those two tapes are a Rembrandt, a Picasso of explaining what all's going on there. They're just the best that there is on the planet. And I highly recommend you go through them again. But anyway, I was doing that. I can't dwell there. I was doing that. Well, one day while I was doing it, and I closed my mouth and I listened, this time it wasn't tongues that I heard. I was hearing the Holy Spirit speak to me in my own language, the English language. If I'd have been Chinese, I'm sure he would have started talking to me in Chinese or Zulu or whatever you are. And I was, God, you know, I grabbed that recorder that Tim had told me to carry with me all the time. I found it, and I just started speaking into the recorder what I was hearing. Well, over a period of time, that continued, and I would speak those and then transcribe them and type them. And for years, we had them at the website in written form only. I call the face-to-face documents. There's only about 20. Gary, has that continued since then? Yes, not always to that detail. And I haven't been 100% faithful at getting alone to hear him as often as I should. Now, if y'all tell anybody that, I'll deny it. But I'm human like you're human. But yeah, they've continued. Well, when is Volume 2 coming out? It's not. Those are only there as examples of what's possible. It's to whet your appetite, to dangle a carrot in front of you. You're supposed to write your own Volume 2. You're supposed to start hearing from him yourself. Well, since I talked with you last week, I told you, anyway, so we got them all in MP3 format. We have them uploaded at the website. I think Ictus is putting up one a day, something like that. And now what's happened since last week, we've also uploaded, we've got them in CD length MP3s now. Some people want to download and burn them to a CD, and they were too long the way they were before. So we grouped them together in four MP3s. It's in that same section, face-to-face, at the website, down near the bottom. And you can download those and burn a CD on your off your computer, the kind you can listen in a car, okay? Just letting you know, www.garycarpenter.org, and I'm sure they'll be at Ictus also. So, hallelujah. Now, last week, we're still getting up to, I'm getting close to new stuff. But last week, we talked about the very first one of those that I ever heard. And the title of it is called, I put a title on him. He didn't give a title. But it was called, I Am Your Friend and Counselor. It's just one page. It was the first time that I heard him using that method. I went through it pretty much in detail last Wednesday. And the thing about it is, see, these were about 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years next month. So I not only have the information that is on the paper, but now I can talk about those with 10 years experience, both good and bad. Not that anything God ever did was bad. I'm talking about my good and bad, okay? Things that I've learned. Like, for example, one of the things last week, he said, you will come to trust me completely. Well, at the time, I didn't even pay any attention hardly to that sentence. I go to the prayer center, for crying out loud. Of course I trust the Holy Spirit completely. Oh, dear God, I look back on the last 10 years now. Man, there are degrees of trusting Him. He won't even, one of the things you'll find in there, he says, I don't on purpose get people into rebellion so that they're condemned. There's things I won't even tell you till I find a certain level of trust in your heart. Because if I know you have no capacity to obey, see, Jesus was like that. He said, well, Jesus is like that. That's Holy Spirit is bringing you the mind of Christ. Jesus said, I have many things I'd like to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Well, he looks at your trust level in your heart. He's not going to tell, maybe 5 years from now, you'll be ready. Well, why can't he tell me now? You just disobey him. You'd be living in constant condemnation for the next 5 years. Why do that? Anyway. So, we're going to get into the next one tonight. And I don't care if we only get a little ways into it. And I don't care if this takes me the next 10 years to teach. What's important is that we get it. And what's important is that we change. And what's important is that you do wind up walking hand in hand, if you will, with Jesus. Now, here's the vision I want you to get. See, I have this picture in my mind. I don't know, maybe it's from the movies I've seen, but I think about the 12, 3.5 years, roughly, traveling with Jesus, going from village to village, town to town. I know sometimes they must have camped along the trail, probably built a campfire. Boy, would you have liked to have sat around and heard the conversations around those campfires. Boy, I would have liked that. Man, just to sit there and be able, even if I didn't get to ask any questions, just listen to the questions and the answers. Boy, I would have loved that. But then the next day, you're going to get up and you don't know where you're going. Jesus is the Lord. You just ask Him, wouldn't you? Lord, where are we going today? Well, we're going down to Nazareth, or we're going over to Nain, and we're going. And you'd get your instructions just His mouth to your ear. Would that be great? Do you know that level of lordship is exactly where we're supposed to be walking today? Only He's not physically with each one of us. He's with each of us by the Holy Spirit. It's a master plan, if you will. He's not just confined to the 12. We don't have, just think if we all had to fly to Jerusalem every day to get our instructions from His mouth to our ear. Of course, today you'd say we'd use the internet. But anyway, the Holy Spirit is better than the internet. And it doesn't charge you a monthly fee. And He's faster than the internet anyway. And He can bring pictures. It's better than email. Okay? But we're supposed to be walking. So that's our goal. I want you to get that picture. When He says, follow thou me, I mean follow you Him. Like walking down that path. Can you get that picture? You and the Lord walking down that path? Only it's not you and physical Him. It's you and the Holy Spirit as He literally brings you the present hour mind of Christ. So let's review just a little bit from last Wednesday. This is from the tape called Follow Thou Me, and it's from the face-to-face document, I Am Your Friend and Counselor. Now, I may just, from that one page, you saw how short that was. It's just less than a page. I made 15 confessions. Because we're going to have to renew our mind if we're going to walk with the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to bear with me. And I'm going to say these, and I'm going to ask you to say them. Some of them you won't have any trouble with. Some of them you go, well, of course. Some of them, still yet when I say some of them, I can tell I'm not totally renewed to that statement yet. Because it has an effect on me like, really? All right, now here's all of these come directly from that one-page document, okay? Item number one, God loves me. Number two, God is eager to communicate with me. My Father wants to take me by the hand and lead me as His child. He will guide me safely through every dark and forbidding way. There is no reason to fear. There's no lack of safety for me. The Holy Spirit is my friend. That means God is my friend. And the Holy Spirit is my counselor. That means God is my counselor. He teaches me revelation knowledge. And He teaches me about my calling. Now, this one's by faith. I trust God completely. And I trust His counsel completely. Even if the whole world disagrees. My mind is now learning things from another world. It's called the realm of the Spirit. I am always welcome in the Lamb's room of fellowship. Great days are ahead. See, that's why I end nearly all of my letters and things that I post at the web. I nearly always end them with the phrase, "The best is yet to come." And I may have had the worst day that day. You may have thought you had a bad day, but I bet mine was, it may have been worse. And I will still end it with, "The best is yet to come." Even if I've had a great day, the best is yet to come. And I believe that. Now see, if your mind really gets renewed to that, if you'll allow me again, our little 11-month-old granddaughter, Lily, I am just confident that her mind doesn't worry at night about what she's going to eat tomorrow. I mean, she's just confident that there's going to be clothes on her body, not that she would even care. Okay? Why? Because she is totally resting, totally trusting. You know, there's this red chair at their house, and she likes to get up in that red chair. It's all, you know, just, she likes it. But you can walk up to her, Sue or me, either one, we'll hold our arms out. She will, with utter abandon, already jump out of that chair. Why? Right into our arms. She trusts that we're going to catch her. She already trusts us. That's the way it's got to be with God. Not fear. Not, "Oh God, why me? Oh, why are you being so mean to me? Oh, I'm afraid. I don't have enough money. Woe is me. They won't like me." Say it with me. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. All right. Now, there's 15 confessions from one, not even a full page, of communication with the Holy Ghost. I got a feeling if most of the people in the sound of my voice could renew themselves to those 15 things right there, the vast majority of your worry time is going to be over. Just those first things right there. But I can't dwell there. We're going on to the next one. This one is called Without Preconceived Notions. It's the second one in the face-to-face. And sometimes I put little notes in here, and I start this one off with some notes from my own heart. And this is Gary talking, not the Holy Spirit. And it says, "Today I am making my second attempt to speak face to face with my counselor, the Holy Spirit. In my heart, I have already laid all on the altar. But I remember the Lord's counsel to me from years ago, which said," now I'm quoting something that the Lord said to Sue and I. We were at a conference. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Back in the early 80s. But I heard him as clear as anything. And here's what he said. "Seek me without preconceived notions, without forcing me to fit in with your plans. Then I will give you my dreams, and I'll plant my vision and my dream within you. You know the futility of anything but my word bringing joy to your life. My word brings all things richly into your life to enjoy. And you will find that as you walk more and more in my perfect will, that it will be the delight of your heart and the rejoicing of your spirit. Prepare to receive my dreams. Thy husband comes. End of quote. Now, let me tell you what was going on when that happened. Sue and I were attending one of the faith conferences here in Tulsa. It was August. I don't remember if it was 81, 82, but right in there somewhere, maybe 83. And we had already been to one or two meetings, and it was the in between these meetings. I think we went to lunch. I'm not positive. But what I do remember, I had a vision, and I wasn't accustomed to getting them in those days. And the vision disturbed me. And you'll understand why here in a minute. And I'm so glad that I shared it with Sue, though. I was kind of embarrassed. Now, in the vision, and this was, I only been saved a couple of years. I didn't know a whole lot. Some might say you don't know a whole lot now. I know more than I did then, okay? But what was weird about this dream, it's a vision. You ever seen those movies like Arabian Nights, you know, where there's the sheik's tent, and there's a bed, and it's got netting around it and everything, and you know, there's usually one of his wife is in there, and it's about that time of night. To see, this is rated G, we have children, so there's a, and you know, he's not on the scene yet, but the wife is there, and she is prepared for what's coming, and she's got herself all anyway, and you know, and in a good way, I'm talking, her husband's going to come, and she's sitting there on the bed in this, you know, looking out, and he's not in the room yet, but she's waiting for him to come. Well, that's fine to see that vision, except there was one problem with it. I was the wife. What? I mean, for those of you that's never seen me, I am just a hairy-legged guy. There is nothing feminine about me at all. I mean, I'm just a guy. And I was raised by O.R. Carpenter, thank you very much. And you know, I like to think of myself as a man. But in this vision, I'm the wife. And then suddenly, here comes, it's the Lord. What did he look like? The visions don't work like that. I still can't tell you what he looked like. I'm just telling you, here he come. And he opened, with his hand, he opened a part of that veil around the bed. You know, that curtain. And he said those words that I just read to you right there. And I knew what he was talking about was, he was wanting to, can I use the word, impregnate me with his dreams. I wasn't there to get him to help me fulfill my dream. I was there as a helpmeet to the Lord to help him fulfill his dreams. And he wanted to impregnate me. Now see, that was long before I understood. Guys, I don't care that we are hairy-legged. I don't care that we have a hair on our chest. Jesus is Adam. And the church, the whole church, is Eve. You got that? We're all Eve. I didn't understand it that well then. That's why I was embarrassed about it. But see, is that not the image? He is the husband. He is Adam. We are Eve. He's come to impregnate us with his dream. Thank God I shared that with Sue during the break, whatever we were eating lunch, I shared it with her. Because the very next service, one of the singers, I can't remember his name now, one of the singers got up, he shared that exact same vision. He had it too. I don't know how many people at that conference had the exact same vision. At the same time, I think he had it on the same day. And I was going, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. Somebody else had it too. And he's a guy. It's another guy. It wasn't a girl. Thank God it wasn't a girl. You know. But see, so often we approach the Lord with, Lord, I want you to help me with my dream. I want you to help me with this. Help me with, we don't ever use these terms, but he might use it. Help me with my ministry. You don't have a ministry. See? My name is... The name Gary Carpenter Ministry, we were going to come up with something different than that because I specifically didn't want to be one of those guys that named a ministry after yourself. So, Sue's name is Sue. My name is Gary. Let's see, S-U-G-A-R. Sugar Ministries. we will sweeten your life. I'm serious. That was one of the things we was thinking about. And we had four or five other ideas, you know, because I didn't want... And finally in prayer, now here you go, getting your instructions from heaven. Finally in prayer, the Lord says, I want them to be able to find you on the internet. Gary Carpenter Ministries, please. Yes, sir. So that's what it's been, okay? But it's not my ministry just because he put, that's the name. That's just so people can find us. It's the Lord's ministry, and I have to remember that all the time. And you'll find you have to work at remembering that. Anyway, that's not the message. All right? Without preconceived notions. Now, a lot of women don't like this. It's okay. And it depends, and I can understand why it depends on the level of transformation of your husband. But like it or not like it, you're going to find it in the New Testament. The man was not made for the woman. The woman was made for the man. She was made as a help meet. Say, help meet. Now you say, I'm not married. I don't have a husband. If you're in this room, you do. Your husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, the larger image of that, I'm not teaching marriage. I'm teaching about the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ. In this marriage, if you will, there is only one Adam. There is only one husband. There's only one male. Let me say it that way. And that is him. We tend to think that this whole thing is about getting him to help us. Well, he will help you. Trust me. But the higher vision is this. The bride exists to be a helpmate to her husband. We are here to let him impregnate us with his dream for our life. And not the other way around. Now in the beginning, hardly anybody sees that at all. I know myself, my first list, when I first got into this. Lord, thank God I finally have a God who's going to help me with stuff. I need a better pickup. I need a better house. Now, he knows you have need of all those things. But my focus was all on this stuff. Lord, how are you going to help me with all this stuff that I need? And he will. You know, there's a maturing process. He's helped us and blessed us. But he's hoping someday we'll take the real position of the bride. And that's to be the receiver, thank you. The one who yields, the one who allows herself to be impregnated with his dream. And then you know what else? Once we do get the dream, like, hey, Dave has a dream and you're part of it. What is the dream, people? Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Now, it's bigger than that, but that's a place. Okay? See, once you get impregnated, once you get impregnated with the dream, then the next step is don't abort it. Don't abort the dream. And the devil, I'm telling you now, is going to send all kinds of hell, including the kitchen sink and every kind of circumstance and every kind of well-meaning but misinformed friend to get you at some point to abort, abandon the vision. And it really has very little to do with you. You think he hates you. Well, he does, but that's not really what it's about. What he's after, he wants to abort that baby. He wants to abort God's vision for your life. Abort God's plan, whatever it was that he impregnated you with. Jason has got this dream. I only know a part of it. Jason would have to give you a fuller description. But I love the slogan. I love that's on the logo. Until all are fed. I can understand that. That motivates me every time I read that. He's got a dream in there until all are fed. God, that's something to give your life for. If the Lord impregnates you with that vision, man, that's something to live for. All right, y'all getting the point? Without preconceived notions. Well, so let me finish my notes here on that day. It says, this is Gary talking again. It says, rather than start right in asking the Holy Spirit a lot of questions, I decided to simply seek him without preconceived notions. What that means is I was going to sit there and pray in tongues and and do that message of distinguishing God's voice. And just let Him start talking. Instead of me going, what about this? And what about that? And what about that over there? And what about this? I just let Him talk. See what He wanted to talk about. It says, I decided to simply seek Him without preconceived notions by simply listening to whatever He has to say to me. Now, I may ask Him specific questions at a later date, which I did. But for today, I think my best course of action is to simply sit here and listen. Now, this one's a long one. I'm not going to read all of this. We'll never make it. But I am going to read part of it. And I'm going to, as I see things in here that I had, this one's 3 pages. As I see things in here that I can comment on from a 10-year perspective that I think will help you, then we'll do that. So here's how it started. I'm just doing the message now. Praying, what I mean is praying, then clamping my lips shut and listening for the tongues. I did it, and I did it, and I did it. And finally one time I heard, and I went click on my recorder. He says, hear me, son, hear me, son. For my wisdom is not like that of man's. My wisdom comes from the throne which is above. My wisdom is always pure, peaceable, full of mercy and good fruits. You have chosen well, my son, to turn to the counselor whom the Father has sent unto you. As you hearken to my voice and learn to lean upon my strength, you will rise above all circumstances and realms of attack. Now, he did not say that the attacks would stop. Did you notice that? He said, I would learn to rise above it. Big difference. He says, I have wisdom, I have ideas, and I have knowledge brought from the throne. Things that you've not even thought of. Let me give you an example of that. I've got one in my pocket. If y'all can see this, this is what they call a thumb drive. It's a little external hard drive that you can plug into a USB port. Hey, Dave thinks he's high-tech with his mechanical pencil. I got a portable hard drive with me. It's only 2 gig, you know. Now they got them 8 gig, 16 gig, I don't know what all. I remember when I didn't know what a gig was, but I do now. But anyway. One time, this was back in the quite a few years ago, we were into this process, though. And in those days, it was a, you know what they call a mom and pop operation? It was a Gary and Sue operation. I mean, we were prayer, intercessor, tape room production, mail room production, letter writer, post office. In other words, we did everything right from the living room. So once or twice a month, the mailings would go out. So we'd have all these labels printed. We didn't even have a really computer system. We had a computer, but we didn't know how to use it well enough to do it for this. So we were using a ring binder system, you know. Joe and Mary Blow, who lives in Sarasota, Florida. We had their address. And we had a page, and we would write on there what we'd ever sent them. And if they'd write for something else, we'd go, we had alphabetical. Blow. Joe and Mary Blow. There they are. And we'd write down there, okay, this time we're sending them this series. And you put the, just write it. That's how we handled everything. And so then we'd print labels based on that. So we had stacks of labels and stacks of bubble mailers and stacks of tapes all in the living room, all these piles. So here we go, you know, and so the whole evening is stuffing the right tape into the right envelope, putting the right label on it, folding it over. Thank God it was a godsend to us when they come out with a little thing you peel off to seal the envelope so you don't have to lick all those rascals. Oh, that was a godsend, you know. So we're doing that and doing that and doing that. Well, one night in a dream, I saw Sue and I doing that. But in the dream, we weren't putting cassette tapes in the bubble mailers. In the dream, I told her, I said, I don't know what we were putting in there, but it looked to me like a stick of gum. I'm holding up for that you can't see. I'm holding up a thumb drive. He says, I have wisdom about things you don't even know what to ask. I'd never heard of a thumb drive. I don't know if there was any such thing as a thumb drive. I had never heard of an iPod. I didn't know anything about MP3s that were coming. He knew the day would come. We wouldn't be sticking cassettes in there. We'd be putting something in there. Right now we're doing it with DVDs. But, you know, in those days we would maybe put 3 or 4 messages in an envelope and it cost us $20 to send the thing to the Philippines. Now we can put the whole every teaching series that I've ever done on a single DVD that costs us 30 cents, put it in an envelope and mailed a whole package, 400 lessons to the Philippines for about $1.90. Talk about showing you things to come. I thought it was a stick of gum. I didn't know he was trying to get across to me, hey, the day will come and there'll be information is going to change. And you're going to do a lot more than just these cassette tapes. You just don't know it yet. Isn't that interesting? Now, some days these may get down cheap enough. We'll send them on these instead of it might be cheaper to do it with these and the DVDs. But I see the principle. He was trying to get the principle across to me. Okay. One little thing. So he says again, he says, listen to my voice and hearken unto me, says the Lord, for I have wisdom, I have ideas, I have knowledge brought from the throne, that things that you've not even thought of. Well, there's an example. So he says, you've chosen well. Now, let me go on here. He said this, and this was back in 98. If he said it then, think what he'd say today. There are many deceivers. The deceivers have so filled my body that it overflows and spews out into the world with deception that is so far from my mind that in no wise can I touch it, associate with it, and much less bless it. This was long before the gold dusting, the gems and the jewels, gemstones, for a lot of other things that we won't get into right now. Now he says, there are few that seek my face. Now he's saying this in the context of deception. There are few that seek my face. And of those few, they do it seldom, not much. You ever hear that old saying? Things just keep getting worse, day by day, week after week. Finally, somebody says, you know what, we might ought to pray. And somebody else says, has it come to that, my brother? So often we wait till we're right on the edge of disaster. And then maybe he has counsel for me. What he's saying, if we'll get his counsel often, if we'll seek his face often, we won't get into those situations nearly so much. I mean, it's not like the devil's going to retire, but you're going to have wisdom on how to handle it. So he says to me, you will receive more precise instruction than you've ever bargained for. Think not that I will not answer your heart cry, for I will. I have come for this reason. I have come for this purpose, to set your feet one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, on his path, now get this, and his path only for your life. Okay, 10 years wisdom. Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's real funny, but you can't do it. In other words, now the reason I'm saying that, he says, I'm going to lead you in his path and his path only. What I've found happening to me and not really realizing I was even doing it until hindsight, you know, later on. I've been doing pretty good for a little while, you know, walking the path. Hey, I found out what he wanted me to do. Yeah, hallelujah. Walking the path pretty good. And then suddenly in my mind, it'll come up. Maybe I kind of come to the end of that instruction, you know. And suddenly there's a couple of paths here. And one of them is really more mine than it is his. Now, the Holy Spirit, when I pray, whose path is he going to be talking about? He's going to be talking about the Lord's path. I can save you thousands of hours. You can forget about trying to get him to talk to you about any path that you've chosen for yourself. That's not the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the mind of Christ. He's only here to lead you down the Lord's path. Okay, more practical examples. You start... Yes, sir. you start taking ownership of the path at any point, and you'll just be happy to walk it in your own counsel. Thank you very much. And you'll eat the fruit of your own reasonings until you repent. And then guess what? You get to turn around on that path and march backwards right back to the junction where you left his path. And in 1 John 1:9, he'll cleanse you, forgive you, and you can proceed on his path like it never happened. Now, I'm going to scare you on purpose. If you're not careful, some of those detours can cost you 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. Some it costs them the whole rest of their life. They never get back. Operating in their own wisdom instead of the Holy Ghost's wisdom. Now, when he says, I bring you to mind, I bring you his plan only, please take the wisdom of 10 years. Gary, how did you know this so well? Don't ask me that. I'm giving you, with good intentions and not really trying to mess up, I've had my little detours. Just don't detour. In the early stages of this, the best thing you can do is not quit. It's okay to have questions. I advise you to shelve them. Put them on the shelf for a little while. Just learn to sit, listen, find out what he's wanting to talk to you about. I'm going to give you one other example. This really would fit a little later, but we're not going to get to it tonight. Now, this is real practical, without preconceived notions. This was all happening during the ugly building days. You know, I prayed over there for years and years and years. And on that land, there was another building that we called the warehouse. And it was getting pretty dilapidated. I mean, it needed, you know, it either needed to be knocked down or it needed to be fixed. I wasn't using it for anything, but it's just kind of a hazard, you know. And so I would ask the Lord. Now, here's the way I would ask him. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to knock that building down, or do you want me to fix it? And the silence was deafening. He would talk to me about all these other things, and I'd get instructions, and I'd get revelation knowledge. But when I'd ask that, come on, Lord. And I couldn't understand it. I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to do with that building? You want me to knock it down? You want me to tear it down, or you want me to fix it? What you're hearing is what I heard. Nothing. Years later, several years later, you know why I wasn't even asking the right question. He didn't want me to do either one of those things. He knew I was going to wind up selling that land and that property to somebody else, and he was going to decide what to do with that warehouse. I would have been a lot better off just to sit there without preconceived notions and just let him talk to me about the warehouse. Would have been a lot easier, don't you think? Now, you say, oh, well, that wouldn't apply to me. Any areas in your life where the silence is deafening when you pray, you might need to back up about 3 steps and go, Lord, am I boxing you out with my own mind? Am I forcing you into trying to answer something that's not even remotely your will? Have I got a preconceived notion about how this is going to work? See, what if I was still asking, what if I hadn't heard him say years ago, I'm not called a pastor? Because everybody always assumed I was going to be a pastor. I did too. I mean, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. The only things left is Sunday school teacher and pastor. Oh, and missionary. You got missionary. That's the only thing left anyway. You know, and my temperament is kind of pastorally, you know. So I thought someday I'd probably pastor a church. But then one day he just flat told me. He just said, you're not called a pastor. You never will be. Well, what am I? You're a teacher. Well, what if I hadn't have been listening that way? What if for 10 years I've been going, Lord, when you ever going to let me pastor? Lord, maybe that building right there, is that my building, Lord? Am I going to start a church in that building? Am I going to build a new building? It's going to be a crystal cathedral, isn't it, Lord? It's going to be a crystal cathedral. It's not going to be like Dave's at all, is it, Lord? Or anything. You see what I'm saying? And I could have been asking him that. But it's so much better just to, without preconceived notions, find out, oh, I'm not called a pastor anyway. Set you free to hear in a whole different realm than you ever would have heard of otherwise. I think so often the reason we hear that deafening silence, we're trying to force a response into a preconceived notion that we have, that we need to back up about three or four steps and just let the Holy Spirit talk to us sometime. Just sit there and pray and listen to what He has to say to you. It might really be enlightening. It might change your whole life. Hallelujah. I hope you all are getting something out of this. Now He said, learn to follow Me. Train others to follow you as you follow Me. That's exactly what I'm trying to do right now. By the way, I've been trying to obey that line. This is one of those that I've done pretty good in over the years. If you go to my website, you'll find series like Instructions from Heaven. How to Follow Jesus. I've got my version of Dave's message. I think mine's called Hearing God's Voice. Took me 4 tapes to teach what he did in 2. And his are still better. I'll still tell you, go listen to his. His are better. But anyway, I've done my best to do this, to teach others how to hear and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is really the mind of Christ. And he says, I desire all to hearken to my voice and follow in the steps that the Lord has for them, that the Lord has chosen for them. Now get this. I will lead. This is why Dave says failure is not an option. He says, I will lead without fail to the utmost and highest purpose of His will for your life, says the Lord. Without fail. Turn to somebody and say this. He is smarter than we are dumb. I don't care. You know. We just won't use any examples. I don't care. He is able to get it across even to you. In a way that you personally understand it. And I mean, in such detail, you'll be able to walk in it. And you will not be guessing. Aren't you tired of guessing? Sue and I got so tired. I thank God that we were in a good place of frustration when we came to the prayer center. We're so tired of doing all these things and hoping some of it was God. Anyway. You can find a place where there is a way on purpose where the Lord can literally, like, take you by the hand and begin leading you. I don't care if you're 40 miles away from His perfect plan for your life, that every minute, the first minute you begin to pray in other tongues, boy, I mean, He has come to take you by the hand. No matter where He finds you, He is going to draw you right back to the center of God's plan for your life. Failure becomes almost impossible. Don't fear failing. Fear stopping. Fear stopping doing the message. Okay? Hallelujah. Now this next one, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, concerning those things. Now he was talking to me personally here. I went ahead and left this in here because it's good for you. Okay? But concerning those things which you have spoken in my ear, have not I spoken in your ear to feed my sheep without price and to lead my lambs without cost? Have I not spoken in your ear to do these things, says the Lord? I am pleased with your obedience in these matters. Now, the reason he's doing that, I didn't even ask him with my mouth. I found out later in these, and you'll find out as you read them. Did you know that sometimes your spirit is asking questions that your soul doesn't even know anything about? I don't remember asking him that day. That I know I didn't ask him verbally. What he's answering is, Lord, are you sure that we're supposed to give everything away free and never charge for anything? Now, why was that a question in me all the time? Because if you looked at the natural circumstances that Sue and I were going through, it looked like we had missed it completely and had looked that way for a couple of years. I mean, money was staying away in great abundance. And it took Joseph, the story of Joseph, to get it across to me. Hey, did Joseph really hear from God that his parents and his brethren would one day bow in obedience or obeisance? What is the word? They would bow before him, basically. Yes. Did it look like it the next month? How about the next year? I mean, he wound up in prison for crying out loud. Rather than them bowing down before him, he was the scum of the earth in the natural. I mean, he's below that. He's down in the earth in a dungeon somewhere. For more than 20 years, if you looked at the natural circumstances, you'd say, he missed it. But he didn't miss it, did he? And that finally came to pass just exactly like God had shown him. Well, we were in the dungeon stage. I'm warning you now, there could not always, I'm not prophesying into your life, but there could be a dungeon stage in your vision. Most likely there will be a period of time when the Lord says, do this, and you set out to do this, and everything in the natural, everything, including your well-meaning friends, says you missed it. The circumstances, your finances, your health maybe, your counsel, yada, 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 and you didn't miss it at all. Your vision, your job is to hang on to what God said. Amen. Period. His job is to bring it. Your job is not to abort the vision that He impregnated you with. You hold that vision no matter how rough. Labor can get pretty tough, can't it, ladies? Oh, I'm here. Yes, so amen. I'm getting some amens back here. We've watched Aaron go through 2 pregnancies. Boy, I mean, and it doesn't get better as it gets near delivery, does it? Right near delivery is when it's the worst. Big as a house. Back hurts all the time. Can't hardly sit. Can't sit in a booth anymore at a restaurant. Can't fit in there, you know? Even though you're a little person like Aaron, can't get in there. You got to have a table. You know, everything hurts all the time. Your face gets bloated. You know, you don't like the way you look. Don't like the way you feel. This is very uncomfortable. Lord, husband, why did you do this to me? Well, because we want a baby. Oh. And even though the labor gets to be the worst of all, that's the worst pain of all. Boy, when that baby's born, when it's finally seen in the world, all of that other's quickly forgotten for the joy that new life has come. Jesus said that a man-child has been birthed in the earth, that a child has been birthed in the earth. Hallelujah. It's exactly like that with our dreams. It's not always pleasant. It doesn't always look like you perfectly following God all the time. Well, I was asking him here, apparently my spirit was crying out going, are you sure I didn't miss it? Are you sure you told me to do this for free? Because if you looked in the natural, our circumstances were saying totally the opposite. We were in the dungeon financially. So he says back to me that I didn't miss it. He says, then he told me what the problem was. He said, the problem has been not seeking my wisdom nor seeking my counsel in a precise way to cause the transfer of wealth which you see in your spirit. You have taken small steps, tiny steps towards the knowledge that I have in those matters. But now that you are learning to hear my voice precisely, those small steps shall become large strides, the strides of a man fully grown, the strides of a man of the stature of David, who will go forth and plunder the enemy's realm and gather in that which truly belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be handed unto him for his use to prosper the Father's kingdom. I'll just tell you right now, I've done real good at obeying item 1 up there. Teach and train everything I know about it, getting others to learn how to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. I am way negligent still yet to this day in this area. I've done very little in this realm, and I confess it, and that's going to change. Okay? I've got to focus more on this. I've taught more on it than I've done it, but he's talking about doing it. All right, picking up the next paragraph. So he tells me, because the question is, did I miss it on giving away stuff free? He says, no, you did not miss it regarding feeding my sheep without price and leading my lambs without cost. But my wisdom, more wisdom now, precise wisdom is coming. What you would call bizarre instructions to cause the transfer of wealth. One thing and one thing only is required for the wealth transfer to be accomplished, and that is obedience to my voice. Obedience without question is the price of great rewards. Now, let me stop there for a minute. When he talks about bizarre instructions, you know, and I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about there? Anyone ever need some money at tax time? Boy, I've been there, I don't know how many times. You need money at tax time, right? Remember there was a time when the tax collectors came to Peter's house and they were asking for the tax money? It says, does not your master pay tribute? And what did Peter do? Peter turned around to go in the house to get the money. And the Lord stopped him. And I don't know about you, but these instructions seem a little bit bizarre. Now, Peter's a fisherman, all right, but they fished with nets. But in this case, he says, I want you to go fishing. And I don't know, I've always had a picture of a line with a fishing line. Maybe he did use a net. I really don't know. But I do know this. The first fish that comes up, take the money out of its mouth and use that to pay your taxes. I don't know about you, but the Lord's never told me to go fishing when it was tax time. Now, maybe it's because I wasn't listening at tax time. But I would call that a fairly bizarre instruction, wouldn't you? To go get money by going fishing and taking it out of the fish's mouth. You do know these are not fairy tales. This really did happen. I've had this little thought in my mind, you know, I just wonder. Maybe somebody in the sound of my voice, maybe 200 years ago, somebody buried a can full of money in your backyard. Nobody knows it's there except the Holy Ghost. Maybe you were seeking Him about, maybe you needed money for your ministry. And He says, go to the garage, get a shovel. I want you to walk out in the backyard, take 3 steps to the left, 4 steps to the right. How many would have enough faith to follow that? See? Go, okay, no, I've been watching too many shows now. It's something, you know, it's that chili I ate, that pizza I ate or something. Hey, he said bizarre instructions. There is no telling. Remember the other time that they had fished all night and they hadn't gathered anything? And they, you know, they're tired. I mean, you've been fishing all night. You're tired and you're discouraged. You're a professional fisherman. You did your best. You fished all night. And now you're tired. And not only are you tired, you didn't get nothing to show for it. And the Lord says, I want you to go right back out, gather those nets right back up, go right back out, and I want you to cast the nets on the other side of the boat. Lord, nobody does it that way. Well, I want you to do it that way. And what happens? Man, they had a boat sinking, net breaking, load of fish to the point they had to call their partners to come help them. Now, let me put it in a nutshell. All of the problems, all of the financial problems in the church and in your individual ministry and in your individual life like mine and Sue's, they come from one problem and one problem only. Or it could be two problems. First problem, we're not seeking His counsel, so we're not hearing His voice. Second problem, you heard His voice, and to you, they're too bizarre for you to do it. One time he told Norval Hayes, I'll close with this, we're getting close to saturation time. One time, way back in the 60s, I think it was, maybe 70s. Anyway, the Lord told Norval Hayes, just plainly, I want you to start gathering up silver dollars. And I want you to start renting, safety deposit boxes in banks. And I want you to start filling them up with these silver dollars. Now, at the time, that was about the most stupid thing you could think of because a silver dollar was worth, guess what? A dollar. So you're going to rent safety deposit boxes that cost, each one of them cost you money every month to rent. And you're going to fill them up with dollars that are just dollars. And they're, you know, just fill them up. And he didn't say just dollars. He said silver dollars. Well, at the time, silver dollars were common. We used to get them all the time. You know, you don't see them now. But in those days, it wasn't that uncommon to get silver dollars. Didn't Orville obey that? No, he did not. Now he knows why the Lord was saying that, because they changed the standard, and those silver dollars today, they don't have silver in them. And those silver dollars from back then, they're worth way more than a dollar. I mean, just that one idea alone would have been worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, just depending on how many he stuffed in there. You don't have to be a genius. You just have to be smart enough to hear and obey. That's all the smart you got to be. Smart enough to hear. That's going to require doing the message. Sit, listen, and then hearken is when you begin to obey and do what he tells you. Okay, let me finish with this right here. Okay, I'm going to give you these two items, and we'll pick this up the next time. The two most common reasons for failure and disaster in my body are these. Number one, my people do not seek my counsel. They do not seek it directly. They do not seek it as if I was real. I'm not against books. That's just item one. Three sentences to describe one thing. Let me read it again. My people do not seek my counsel. They do not seek it directly. Did you get that? They do not seek it directly. They do not seek it as if I was real. Most people are trying to find their answers in Christian books, which is really describing for them an answer that somebody else received from God. And there are principles. I'm not against Christian books. But you're not going to find your path and your calling and your answers in those books. Unless it be something like Dave's book, where it's telling you to go pray, you silly outfit. Sit down, plant, epoxy your britches in a chair, and practice this until you can hear him. But that's only step one. Here, trust me, 10 years of wisdom, trust me. That's only half the battle, is hearing him. And the second half is doing it. So the two most common reasons, they don't seek my counsel. They don't seek it directly. They don't seek it as if I'm real. And then number two, well, when they hear my counsel. So now he's giving you credit. Okay, you're at the place where you're hearing him. But he says they often delay past the point where the deliverance would have come, or where the answer would have come. Now see, that instruction to Norval Hayes would have worked for quite a few years. But I don't remember what year it was that they changed the standard. You understand? When was it? 1965. So it was back in the 60s. So in 1965 now, they changed the standard. And if you're stacking up coins, silver dollar coins after 1965, it's not going to have the same impact as those before. That things change. People change. Another thing he says, your enemy is not static. He's always, if plan A didn't work on you, he's coming with plan B. Have you figured that out yet? So if you get instructions how to handle the enemy on plan A, you don't want to wait 5 years till he's already using plan B on you before you start doing the instructions for plan A. This is not rocket science, is it? Hallelujah. Yeah, I think we've hit saturation now. So. All right. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to tell you one more thing. I keep saying this is the last thing, but he says, be encouraged to know this. Those that seek my voice and seek my counsel on a regular basis, it is to them that I show things to come. And they can even take measures and steps ahead of time as I show them troop movements of the enemy. I show them ahead of time. I give them counsel on what to say and what to do in order to thwart the plans of the enemy, even before his troops are in place. And so the plans of the enemy are brought to nothing. How many of you would like that kind of counsel? So, well, that doesn't really happen. Well, let me read you a word that came through our pastor. and see if it sounds like something like that. The word of prophecy. It says, if you'll listen very closely to the instructions of the Spirit, then I'll warn you of things to come. Know this, your enemy, he is planning an onslaught. He is planning a time of defeat through great discouragement. Anyone familiar with that at all? But he says, when you come through this battleground, you will have won. That is, attained to a place in me that many of you have never walked before. And in this place with me, as all things are now ready, you'll walk in a realm of my blessings that you've never walked in before. So I say to you, that will be in the realm that you would be in health and that you would prosper as your soul is prospering. So walk into my victory and continue you in the Spirit. Did that come to pass? I mean, it came to pass, and there's more to it. But now there's just one example. How he shows you what the enemy's going to do ahead of time. More than once, we had received instructions in those first years that we were here. And even physical attacks. He says, the enemy's coming. He says, guard your family, bring everybody in close, pray like everything, because the enemy's got an onslaught. Sure enough, there were times when all kinds of things happened. One of those times, Dave gave a warning like that at the church, that service. I was gone on a trip. And when Sue got home, she received a message. That was the day that I had fallen out of the truck, as I say. And I was in a hospital in Arkansas. You think there's any correlation there? Amen. But at least she knew what was going on. She came and understood what was going on. By the way, I lived. Okay, just in case you were wondering about that. Well, we're going to continue with this as the Spirit gives me permission. But now, I don't know what we're going to call this one, but listen, I encourage you to make advantage of those face-to-face documents. Print them out, read them. I recommend if you have an iPod, download them and put them on your iPod. It is amazing. I mean, I recorded the things myself, but I've been listening to them here and I'm going, oh yeah. You know, I mean, I hear it again. I've kind of maybe forgotten that, or I hadn't acted on that in a long time. But you'll hear things on there. It's good to hear them. But then more than that, what all that's designed for is to get you to do Dave's message on those two tapes called Distinguishing God's Voice. Practice it until it's working for you. Then you are on your way. Amen? Amen.